Welcome to The Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
An environment in which Christ has not yet come. It's people who have been under the thumb of empire for 1,000 years, more, praying, hoping, anticipating. God, come near us. So I think it's a gift for our lectionary to offer us the Psalms as one of the ways to enter into this Advent season. So we enter into the Advent season from the perspective of the Jewish people anticipating, praying for God to come near with Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. O Lord, I set my hope on you. My God, in you I trust. May I not be disappointed. May my enemies not exult over me. Oh, let none who look to you be disappointed. Let the faithless be disappointed, empty-handed. Let me know your paths, O Lord. Teach me your ways. Guide me in your true way and teach me. For you are God, my deliverer. It is you I look to at all times. O Lord, be mindful of your compassion and your faithfulness. They are as old as time. Be not mindful of my youthful sins and my transgressions. In keeping with your faithfulness, consider what is in my favor, as befits your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he shows sinners the way. He guides the lowly in the right path and teaches the lowly his way. All the Lord's paths are steadfast love for those who keep the decrees of his covenant. The gift of Holy Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the great gifts that God offers us is identity. Who are we? We're beloved children of God, called to follow Jesus, to emulate him, to model him, to become like him. And Jesus says, I believe in you. You can do this. Oh, that's the hope of Advent. The experience of God flowing through us, helping us to achieve our identity. Take a deep breath, just a deep cleansing breath. That is what this past week has been. It's a gift that we don't often get. It's almost gone, so let's treasure what we have. A week between holidays. A week between Thanksgiving to prepare and reflect upon Advent. Doesn't usually happen. Usually, Advent begins on November 26th, that November 25th, that Sunday right after Thanksgiving. And it's just right out of Thanksgiving into Advent. And we're trying to figure out how to get this place decorated. We're trying to figure out how to get Advent readers. We're trying to figure out all the details, and it's stress. Not this year. This year I was able to take a deep breath and reflect. Reflect on my expectations of God, God's expectations of me. Reflect upon what it's like to be a pastor. How have my expectations changed in this role? This is third career for me. I started roughly when I was 46, 47, 51 now. My expectations are very different now than they were when I first started. Oh, life has a way of doing that, right? Helping us see different perspectives. I remember my first church in Gravett, Arkansas, about 70 people on a really good day. Like Easter Sunday, we'd have maybe 80 people. Rest of the year, 45, 50 people in attendance, and I was just excited as could be with this congregation. What a great group of people. Loved them. It was spectacular, spectacular ministry. And as we approached the Advent season, like in October, maybe August, I was already thinking, oh, we have to plan Advent. It's going to be so awesome. All these expectations for this incredible candlelight service. Can you imagine the first time you get to take a congregation through Christmas Eve? And so I pulled together the six people that are on every committee, and they were also our church council, and I said, oh, Christmas Eve is going to be awesome this year. This is what we have to do. And they said, Eric, what are you talking about, candlelight Christmas Eve service? We don't do that here. Oh, come on, come on. You don't do a candlelight Christmas Eve service? None of the churches. No, there are 21, 22 churches in Gravette. It used to be Guinness Book of World Record churches per capita. None of, I'm not joking. None of the churches do a Christmas Eve candlelight service. Oh, this is opportunity, golden opportunity. They don't know what they're missing. So I convinced the six people on council to let me spend some money. Let's make posters, put them up in every business in town. Let's make postcards, mail them to every house in the zip code. And we did. And we prepared, and we had all these expectations. I got them really believing we were going to have a bunch of people come. So we made all kinds of brownies and desserts, and I compromised. We didn't go 11 p.m. We went 5 p.m., but we still had candles, and we still had a Christmas Eve candlelight service. And the same 20-ish people that come to all of the events were the 20 people that came to our Christmas Eve candlelight service. Nobody from the community showed. Oh, my expectations were dashed. But as I look back on it, as I reflect, well, it wasn't a failure. It was actually glorious. We had this amazing, amazing, intimate service. But I was asking the community to give out of something that they had never received. I was asking them to give out of a tradition that they didn't own or had never experienced. Now, if I had stayed there, if I would have gone into a second Christmas season with them, Advent season, I certainly would have done it differently. I probably would have still sent out the mailings. I probably would have still gone around personally inviting people, but I would have played up the experience, drawn people into an experience so that we could start building a tradition. And the same thing is that happens with congregations, the same thing with speaking to people. Oh, as pastors, I have the same issue. I can't give, or pastors can't give out of what we've never received. Now, you don't have to raise your hands because maybe all of them would go up. But have you ever been part of a worship service where the pastor clearly was trying to give out of what he had never received? Pastor clearly trying to preach hope, peace, love, and joy when he had none or she had none in her life? Oh, it's a painful experience. Hopefully that wasn't last Sunday. We work our pastors. We have set high expectations of our pastors, and far too often they set too high of expectations for themselves, and the busyness takes over. Well, the same thing in our lives. You know, we set high expectations for ourselves. We want to be the hero of the story. Now, this person probably isn't here. I don't see them. I don't recognize them. But I saw them in an aisle at Walmart, and it took me right back to the years I spent selling toys. You can hear it like four aisles away, the person who is trying to be the hero and has a flock of people around them and is showing off about how well they, right, Kevin, you've heard it. And I could hear this guy talking as if the buyer is his best friend. Oh, Mark loves milk. So we're going to pitch it this way. Oh, we want to be the heroes at work. We want to be the heroes at our family. But at 2 a.m. when we wake up and we realize that they might discover we're not the heroes, oh, the bottom can drop out. Now, if we preach from that perspective, if we lead from that perspective, we try to be community leaders or disciple makers from that perspective, then we're just preaching from an ivory tower. We're preaching words that have no substance. And John Wesley, who began this whole movement called Methodism, shifted the Anglican Church a little bit, and Methodism moves out of what Wesley developed. Well, early in his career, he lost his faith, and he was preaching faithless sermons. And he went to his friend Peter Bowler and said, "Peter, I've lost my faith. I can't do this. I don't even know if I'm a Christian anymore, because I haven't experienced Christ in my life." And his friend Peter said, "Well, John, just preach faith until you find it." Now, generation upon generation upon generation of seminary students have gone through seminary with that advice. There will come a time when you lose your faith. Just preach faith until you find it. And it sounds good, unless you're the congregation. Oh, those poor congregations that had to listen to John for all of those sermons, preaching faith when he had none. Oh, what do we do? What do we do to develop faith in our lives? Well, God has faith in us. How do we find that faith? That is the journey of Advent. Heard someone say that the only way you learn how to dance is by dancing. The only way to learn how to dance with God is by getting into the dance, by taking God's hands and to begin to dance. How do we do that? I think Psalm 25 offers us the dance. O Lord, I set my hope on you. My God, in you I trust. May I not be disappointed. May my enemies not exult over me. Oh, let no one who looks to you be disappointed. Let the faithless be disappointed, empty-handed. Now, often the psalmist, they'll call out their enemies and they'll heap all kinds of burning coals on top of their enemies. But I don't think this is a case where the psalmist is pointing fingers. I think the psalmist is being very honest. Without faith, we're going to be disappointed. How do we find faith? Well, we step out in hope. Dan and Kathy Dunn are members of this congregation. They retired early, set their life on a life of missionary work, and have for the past 12 years or so spent every year, 3, 4, 5 months of the year on missionary trips, now, really getting their hands and feet enmeshed in ministry. Visiting with Kathy and Dan when they came back last week, I guess it was last week, end of the week before, and we were talking about their experience briefly, and Kathy said, "You know, I've gone on 3-month mission trips before, but something about this one," they went to the Czech Republic for 75 days, and they were staying at a little church, lived in the church, and they were teaching conversational English. And Kathy said, "For some reason, I was just a mess thinking about this. Anxiety levels through the roof. I don't know what it is. For 10 years I've been doing this, and all of a sudden this one really hit me." When they get to the Czech Republic and they check into the hotel, and she's still nervous, and they walk out the door, and right across the street's the United Methodist Church offices for that part of Europe. And she said it was almost like God saying, "See, I'm here with you too. Not just, you're not here alone, your church is with you." And then they continued to walk down the streets a Sunday morning. They walked to a church that had been recommended to them. They sit down and the pastor walks in and says, "Hi, y'all. I'm from Arkansas." And Kathy said the fear just, it melted away. And she was transformed. "Let me know your paths, O Lord. Teach me your ways. Guide me in your true way and teach me. You are God, my deliverer. It is you I look to at all times." So this Advent, I'm hoping that you will look for one way to step out in faith, one way to take a risk, one way to position yourself in the dance with God so that God might show up. But also, ask yourself, what do you need to be delivered from? What is something that you need to set aside? Something that is really a challenge, something that will move you as it starts to disappear. For me, it's not taking a Sabbath. I need to set aside that maybe ego that it won't get done if I don't do it. Friday is supposed to be my day off, and I don't I'm not very good at taking that day off. But when I do, some people have said that my sermons are better on Sunday. I feel like they are. When I take that day off, it isn't experiencing God on Sunday. Oh, what happens is my mind is clearer the rest of the week. I work out of rest. I don't work until exhaustion. It's a big difference. Working to exhaustion and not moving on the weekend is a whole lot different than taking a Sabbath and spending it with God and then working out of that rest. It will transform your life. O Lord, be mindful of your compassion and your faithfulness. They are as old as time. If we want to experience God's compassion, I think we have to position ourselves to receive it. How are we immersing ourselves in God's presence? Advent is a great season to begin a devotional. Except I don't like devotionals. I have to say, I don't like devotionals because devotionals generally give you like one snippet of a verse and you don't get the context. Now, next year in our lectionary season is the year of Matthew. Maybe take this next 25 days and immerse yourself in the Gospel of Matthew. Read it a couple times. How is God speaking to you? 28 chapters, maybe you read a chapter a day. Verse 7, be not mindful of my youthful sins. Please, please, forget those. In keeping with your faithfulness, consider what is in my favor, as befits your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he shows sinners the way. The gentleman who spoke on that little snippet, Rob Bell, offering the dust of Jesus. How do we immerse ourselves in Jesus? How do we follow him so closely that we pick up the dust of the rabbi who walks before us? We explored, that was just a little snippet of an 11-minute video that we explored during the 10 o'clock hour. So next week and all of the weeks of Advent, if you'd like to join us here at 10 o'clock, we'll be exploring videos on how we immerse ourselves in this Advent experience. But forgiveness, I think, is one of the ways that we truly pick up the dust of our rabbi. Walking behind Jesus, walking through the dust of his shoes that he kicks up, if we're not picking up forgiveness, then we're too far behind. Who is one person that you need to forgive? Now, maybe it's too raw still to actually physically talk to them. So here's a wonderful way to begin the forgiveness process. Every time that person who drives you absolutely nuts, who you can't stand, who makes you not even want to go to work, every time they pop into your head, smile at them and give them a virtual hug. You don't have to do this physically yet. But every time that person comes into your mind and you want to say something, you know exactly how to just bury them. Don't. Smile at them. Give them a virtual hug. It's really hard to hate people or be angry with people when you're virtually hugging them and smiling at them. Verse 9. He guides the lowly in the right path and teaches the lowly his way. He guides the lowly in the right path. He teaches humility. If we are going to be followers of Christ, if we are going to anticipate and expect to experience the presence of God, well, one of the ways that we are going to have to order and structure our life is the way of humility. A wonderful way to do this is the way we share time with people. And we love to tell stories. Most people have observed in conversation, if you start a conversation with somebody and you tell a story, well, they're going to tell a story back. It's like, I have to relate to you how much I'm paying attention to you by telling another story that builds upon your story. Well, actually what we're doing is not listening. What if we humbled ourselves and actually a friend of mine says, when you've turned your toes towards somebody, you're actually listening to them. What if we turned our toes towards the person who's talking to us, and instead of building upon their story, offering examples of how we were have done things that they've done. What if we asked them to explore their story? So Thanksgiving, my mom goes to her brother's house. And my uncle loves Thanksgiving. It's his holiday is Thanksgiving. And more than anything, he loves leftovers. And he knows that all of his guests love leftovers too, so he cooks two Thanksgiving dinners. The day before Thanksgiving, he makes the full Thanksgiving dinner, and then he packages it up in take-home bags for all of his guests so they can eat everything that he prepares on Thanksgiving Thursday, and every guest gets take-home Thanksgiving leftovers. Now, when my mom's telling me the story, I could have said, oh, yeah, Mom, I love Thanksgiving leftovers too. This is how I do it. Or I could say, Mom, how did that make you feel? And I get this wonderful story about how it made my mom feel. Mom, what's your favorite leftover? What do you do with them? Sandwiches for breakfast, and I eat them over the sink. With the cranberry sauce on the sandwich? Absolutely. You get the point, right? You draw out the person's story. You help them share their story. Dale Carnegie made an entire career out of this. He would walk into a room with hundreds of people he had never met, and he'd go from person to person, and he'd invite them to share their story. And how did that make you feel? Tell me more about that. Drawing the story out of them. And everybody would say that Dale Carnegie is the greatest conversationalist ever. And he would say, you know, I didn't say anything. I just helped people share their stories. And the psalmist offers us these words. All the Lord's paths are steadfast love for those who keep his decrees, who keep the decrees of his covenant. The decrees of his covenant are his promise. The ways, the paths of the Lord are steadfast love for those who are immersed in God's promise. Steadfast love, Hebrew word is hesed. We can't really translate it all that easily because it's such a powerful word for the Jewish people. Hesed is, it's the state of the way things should be. It's perfect union with God. It's the kind of love that never fails. It's the way God wants to be with us. The way of Jesus is the way to hesed. It is the Word become flesh. It is God drawing near to us. It is peace, hope, and love taking on substance. It is God coming so close that we experience God. And the psalmist has given us the way. Jesus personifies the way. Jesus becomes the way made flesh. But the psalmist knew the way, and that is the way that Jesus is offering to us this Advent. And as the beloved children of Christ that we are, with all confidence and assurance, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.